Everyone, welcome back to Kicked and Picks. We're all here today from the start. A little late last week, but we are here from the start after a very solid weekend for us. I was very proud of myself for giving up that 0-0 Juve exact score line against Milan. Nick was more confident in Milan scoring. He forgot how trash Fonseca's tactics are. I just remember that from the Roma days, and then I knew that Juve has no forward. So, hey, 0-0 it was. Hit quite a few other ones last week. I think we gave out some really nice lines. Unfortunately, the one that I would have liked to come through, Scotty's Roma plus half a goal, did not come through, as I kind of suspected it wouldn't.
It wasn't that far off, though. I
Yeah, it wasn't
mean,
that
one
far off, but
nothing, almost.
But I guess we'll touch quick on Champions League today and tomorrow, as we're recording on Tuesday, if you're listening after the fact of our live recording. We were in the group text today. I said, how in the world is Feyenoord just about even money at plus two goals? And it looked dicey for a bit, and then the I don't even know the adjective to describe the comeback, but it was a furious comeback, I guess we can say, as Feyenoord found a way to get three goals on City at the Etihad. I mean, Scotty, you've got to be reveling in this as a Liverpool supporter. This is like crisis
Yeah.
mode for them to some extent.
I got to look at their schedule. I think they're very close to going an entire month, the month of November, without a win. And I don't even know how far you have to go back to find when that happened. I mean, even Mancini days, I feel like they would be winning at least one game in a month. So pretty dark days for City fans right now. Although, I mean, I think every loss that gets, stacked up here is just another £50 million added to the transfer budget for January. So it's all going to come back to bite us in a little bit when they get like Kimmich and Zubimendi and a whole new set of Avengers to come in and run the league for the next 5 years. But yeah, I mean, really tough times. Blowing a 3-0 lead at home to Feyenoord.
Not even a good Feyenoord this year, by the
Not even
way.
a good Feyenoord. Like it's that's really bad. And I think three goals were all in the like 75th minute or later. Like it was it, they had this game done and they switched off and then it just unraveled. And it's one of those things, like that's the type of game that is very telling of the status of the club, because if you're a team that has it together, that first goal they conceded was a mental mistake. I think that is a bad back pass that just got picked off. Usually you can overcome that and be like, all right, settle. Let's just like see this out. But they crumbled. And I think that's just a function of just where they are right now as a team. And, I mean, Pep's got his work cut out for him. Like this is where he actually has to earn his paycheck, because, it's, not the hardest thing in the world to run the league when you have a blank check every summer. But when you're dealing with a little bit of an injury crisis and you got an aging squad and things aren't going well for you, now it's time to actually put in some of those tactics that everyone talks about and earn your keep, so to speak.
I think that's exceptionally well put. And listen, I'll be the first to say that I'm enjoying this downfall of City, and obviously
Well,
nowhere
everybody
near
is.
everybody should be nowhere near the level you are. But you put that so well. I mean, Pep has always had the benefit, and listen, it's not to say he's not a his record, his accomplishments speak for themselves, but he's always had every player he's ever wanted or you ever could want. So now you kind of have to look back and would it City didn't really have a good summer window. They probably had a terrible summer window when you think about it. They got older. They got rid of Alvarez. They didn't replace him. I don't, their bench obviously hasn't stepped up or looked good in any capacity. KDB is obviously hurt. And Haaland, while fantastic, can only do so much. So it's kind of interesting the strategy that they went in with. I don't know what they were thinking. I mean, I'm going to shift to the Premier League for a second. Looking at the Premier League, I mean, maybe you didn't expect Liverpool to be this good this quickly. Maybe you didn't believe in some of the rest of the competition around you, but I don't know. Just kind of a head scratcher at this point. So let's see what he really has, because you see a lot of other good, like Ancelotti is a great example to me, where people like to talk about, oh, well, he's not really tactically, he doesn't know what he's doing. He's just a good manager of players and talent and this and that. And it's like, okay, well, let's take a look at his record. And he's sure missing a lot of guys this year. And, he has an old, his midfield combined age is like 80. So I don't know. They seem to figured it out a couple weeks in. So I'm interested to see how Pep responds here. I mean, obviously they have Liverpool coming up this weekend, which we'll get into, which is going to be cinema, I hope. But yeah, listen, we know about the down run of form. To blow a 3-0 lead within like 20 minutes, I can't say I saw that coming. I'll say that I was, all of us were on board with Steve's pick this morning. We should have leaked the group chat. Took Feyenoord +2 as a single bet, parlayed them +3.5 in another parlay that I had. I was texting the guy when City scored 2 goals in like those 3 minutes. I'm like, RIP. This is no good.
Done.
Turned it off. And Scotty was like, no, not so quick. There's some life. So did not see that coming from Feyenoord, especially away from home. Good on them. Let's see what happens. But it definitely, just enjoy the ride right now, because City could run, they could still run off 20 wins in a row, close out the year.
Yeah, for sure. And then a lot of big score lines today as well. Atletico at Sparta Prague, 6-0 winners. Leverkusen at home against Salzburg, 5-0 winners. Arsenal, impressive 5-1 win at Sporting, who's been very good in this competition. Atalanta, 6-1 at Young Boys. So teams with some like kind of resounding wins. The most impressive, obviously, on paper with who the opponent was Arsenal's. And then the matchup with the big boys, Bayern 1-0 over PSG. Inter 1-0 win.
This format, we've been saying it week in and week out, this format to me as a neutral or as somebody that just likes to bet goals, it's fucking awesome.
Yeah. The other under, like you said, was Inter 1-0 over Leipzig. And then we had Barcelona over Brest 3-0 and Milan with a 3-2 win on the road against Slovan Bratislava. Christian Pulisic stays on fire. What else? So I'm guessing the Arsenal result probably jumped out to you guys. That to me, I didn't get to watch any of these matches live, but that I think that jumped out to me.
Yeah, that was the one game that I will say that we got wrong this weekend was Arsenal. Maybe one or two games, but I think Arsenal we got wrong. So shout out to them, two really good performances in a row. Seem like they're scoring goals, they're getting a lot of different contributions, which we know that they can do. Let's see if they can build on it. Good for them. That's a tough, tough result away from home to put up 5 goals.
Yeah. Sporting was undefeated right before that match. They were top of the table heading into this one. So, yeah, impressive stuff. I like to give Pulisic his kudos being American. I think he is just playing. Yeah, he's playing very well. Like, he's playing very, very well. And I don't think anybody can take that away from him. I know he had a lot of detractors after his Premier League stint, but this is impressive. He's doing it in Serie A and in the Champions League. And you guys mentioned it before we came on the air, PSG sitting in the relegation zone of this Champions League. And Scotty, I think you said they still have City to go. It's Stuttgart away and another one, right?
Yeah, so they got their next match before this December break in the Champions League is going to be at Salzburg. So certainly a winnable game, but a definitively must-win game for them, because after that, when we come back in January, they have home versus City, which is going to be a mountain of a game. Because I think City are probably have to win that if they're trying to get this bye. They're sitting in 15th place right now, so they got some work cut out for them. And then, yeah, it's probably going to come down to the eighth match. They're at Stuttgart. You know, even if they beat Salzburg, they're going to be right on the cusp, you know, of that top 24. And conceivably, there's going to be a couple teams in that area that are going to win their matches in week 8. So I think it's going to be a win and get in type situation for PSG at Stuttgart coming up in the end of January.
Yeah, going to be interesting.
Listen, I tweet it out all the time. It's one of my favorite tweets. Just find somebody who believes in you the way that people believe in PSG in the Champions League. And it's happening a little bit earlier this time around. Lost, 3 out of the last 4, no wins, right? One win. Their first game was the only win. Love to see it.
Yeah, I mean, when you have to play Bayern in the group stage and not 3 cupcakes, it gets a little more interesting for you. So
definitely.
Tomorrow, got a couple interesting ones. Scotty's Liverpool hosting Real Madrid, -120 on the money line. Real Madrid +300, not a number you see on Madrid very often in Europe. And Villa hosting Juve. Villa +135, Juve +225 are the big ones on paper in terms of name value. What are you guys thinking?
I mean, Real Madrid without Vinny is the real reason why this is at +300. I know Oakes, if he's watching, he's going to use this as a testament to why Vinny should have been the rightful Ballon d'Or winner. But, I think Mbappe is going to shift over to the wing, which is his preferred position. He's +160 to score in this. So
it's a silly number.
And you know, depending on, you know, Liverpool's wingbacks have been pretty bad this season. You know, as much as they've been successful, you know, Robertson, Tsimikas, Connor Bradley haven't been great. Trent's been hurt. So if Mbappe is really shifting to the wing, I think there's going to be a lot of space, open space for him to get in behind and cause some trouble. So I don't mind Mbappe plus 160 anytime goal scorer. I'm like hesitant to put any money on Liverpool with a minus in front of them hosting Real Madrid. I mean, you can count out Real Madrid all you want, but Nick, you and I talk about how in the Champions League, they just step up. So if you wanted to go and take them, you know, draw no bet, or I think you could probably even get them like probably pretty close to plus a goal at even money. Yeah. What's the spread looking like? Yeah, no, it's double chances, plus 105, plus 0.75 is minus 125. So anything in there, I mean, I wouldn't hate it. The other problem is Liverpool are 100% looking ahead to next weekend. You know, if you told Liverpool that fans that you can win one of the two games coming up between either Madrid or City, I think everybody is going to smash and take the City win and drop points against Madrid, because getting a 11 or 14 or I think what is it, 11 point lead over City at this point in the season would be massive to their league title hopes. And frankly, like, you know, we're talking about how PSG really have to get their shit together to get into the just into the knockout stage. I think Liverpool really only need two wins out of their last four games to get a guaranteed bye. So
they're 4-0.
Yeah, they're sitting pretty. They're sitting pretty. They have some easier ones. Yeah, they have some easy wins coming up. Not easy ones, but they have some easier matches coming up where they can afford to drop points here, and it's not really going to do anything to their season. So, yeah, I can't recommend a bet in this besides maybe Mbappe plus 160 goal scorer.
Yeah, I tend to agree with Scotty here. I think look ahead spot for Liverpool. Obviously, they're fortunate that they're at home in this one. Madrid hasn't looked all that great. Vinny is injured, all the things Scotty mentioned. But getting plus 300 on them in the Champions League in any scenario seems kind of silly. So I do like the double chance. I think Liverpool will be more than happy with a draw in this game. I think Madrid do need points. They're close to that relegation zone. They only have 6 points through four games, right? It's two wins and two losses. So not the greatest of looks for them. I tend to agree.
Yeah, and you mentioned, Scott, Liverpool's got themselves in a nice position there. They're the only team without drop points so far in this league stage with four wins out of four. So even any drop points here, if you get caught looking ahead, not the end of the world for them. Real Madrid needs this match a lot more. Vinny or no Vinny.
Another thing to say, obviously, wait for lineups for this game. Let's see what Liverpool rolls out.
Yeah, this is a spot where even though it's Real Madrid, you could rest a player or two if you feel like you don't want to risk someone because,
like you said,
getting 11 or 14 up on City is way massive. More important.
I think the good news in that sense is, you know, Liverpool with the international break had to rest some of their South American players for the match against Southampton on the weekend. So Alexis McAllister and Luis Diaz all got, you know, a little extra time to recover. So I'm guessing those guys are almost shoo-ins to start. The only guys I can see maybe resting in any capacity, you might see an early sub for Salah. You know, Nunez, I'm guessing he's going to play most of the match. You might see Gakpo get in at some point. So otherwise, you know, maybe Van Dijk gets a little bit of a rest and you get Gomez in there with Konate. But I think it's going to be a pretty strong lineup from Liverpool regardless.
Yeah, fair.
All right, should we go over to the EPL?
Yeah, I mean, I'll just quickly say a couple leans. Obviously, guys, wait for lineups. Wait for shop your books. It's the same things we say all the time. Weird, kind of a weird slate tomorrow. There's not a lot of great spots, but I will say not bets, just leans, just thoughts. Sturm Graz at home to Girona. Both of these teams haven't looked good. This is Sturm's pretty much like only chance, I think, for some points at home. Plus 235, they have to get something out of it. So, you know, wouldn't mind seeing them on the spread or something like that. I think Red Star and Stuttgart could be primed for an over. I think Zagreb and Dortmund could be primed for an over. Zagreb's a really, really big underdog at home. So maybe them to get a goal or them
and on Dortmund's the spread. And Dortmund's not very good at on the road either.
Or defending, ever.
Yeah.
So I do like Zagreb to get on the score sheet. And I think they've scored two goals in every game so far. I mean, they're an overs team. So I like that. PSV at home to Shakhtar. They've been rolling. They get goals. So maybe a team total in some sort of a parlay there. And then Monaco and Benfica, I just get both of those teams wrong. I just wanted to shout that out, that if anybody has a good bet for that game, let me know.
All right, so heading over to the Premier League this weekend, I'll run down the list. It starts on Friday. Friday kickoff, Brighton and Southampton. Brighton, big favorites at home. Do you want to go match by match like we did last week? Anything in there?
You can. I mean, there's not much there. Brighton, huge number for Brighton. Probably will win, but they're not as solid of a team where I'd go in and start taking them like minus 1.5. So, and Southampton really didn't look terrible against Liverpool. You know, they got a couple guys that are now getting healthy that actually look decent. This Dibbles kid, I guess he's 18, could look great against Liverpool. Was skinning the defense left and right. So, if you really want to take a shot on Southampton here, be my guest. But I don't have anything on this game to play.
Yeah, the number's too big on Brighton, I think, at home. So, agree there. Next one, Forest hosting Ipswich. Forest minus 145 on the money line at home. Ipswich coming off the result against United, right? And Forest got humbled a bit, yeah.
Yeah, they look bad. This is a goals game. So if you want to get creative and try and find some way to get both teams' scores sitting at minus 135, that's not terrible.
I don't mind that.
Yeah, it's playable. So maybe that's probably the best I can find here. I don't know that I would trust either team over 1.5 right now, but I certainly would expect both teams to get on the score sheet in this.
All right, Palace hosting Newcastle. Palace plus 190, Newcastle plus 135 on the road.
Yeah, need a big bounce back from Newcastle in this one.
I don't know that
I'm ready yet to play them on the money line, but you have to expect a bounce back after that absolute egg they laid last weekend.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, I mean, call me a sucker, but I feel like they're well positioned to get a win here. I mean, Crystal Palace, they've been playing a little bit better of late, getting a couple more results than they did in the start of the season, but still not great, sitting in 19th place. But, two draws, a win and a loss in their last four, it's certainly better form from them. I just don't think they're not capable of scoring a lot. So if Newcastle can get on the score sheet early, I think it's pretty much theirs. So plus 135, I have no problem taking at that number.
Yeah, if Drono Bet gets there, I'll probably bet it. But it's
throw no bet right now. I'm seeing minus 145, minus a quarter goals, minus 105.
Yeah. If draw no bet gets to like minus 130, I would play it.
Yeah. Brentford hosting Leicester. Brentford minus 150, Leicester plus 350. Brentford, another one coming off a pretty bad loss last weekend after I think we talked about them scoring early and often didn't get anything early and ended up losing the match.
Yeah. This feels like a bounce back game. I mean, especially being at home. No. Another game where, I think we'd like to take the first half goal with Brentford. So I think, let me find that prop. Brentford to score. Oh, it's minus 180 now. So the books have caught on. That's terrible. Best. It's also Leicester, but.
This could be an over game, though.
Yeah.
Leicester's been scoring.
Over 1.5 for Brentford is minus 175. It's tough. Yeah. This is, you have to get creative. You think Leicester can score in this one, Nick?
I do.
So maybe we're looking at one of those both teams to score over 2.5 minus 120. Does that feel good?
Okay. I mean, so this is what I'll say to anybody. If you have to force yourself for those two things to get to minus 120 and you don't love it, maybe just pass.
Yeah.
I do. I mean, that's a decent bet. I don't know.
I can't find anything else I like this. It's just you have to get creative with some of these.
Yeah, the Saturday slate is tough, especially the early Saturday slate. The last match of the day Saturday is West Ham hosting Arsenal. Arsenal minus 210 on the road. I'm sorry, I skipped Wolves Bournemouth. Wolves Bournemouth first at 10 o'clock. Wolves plus 180, Bournemouth plus 140.
Wolves looked good last weekend. The question is that something that they're going to sustain? I mean, historically with Wolves, the answer to that question is no. But it's hard to watch them, put up four goals. Or was it? Yeah, four goals against
Fulham.
I'm trying to remember. It was four goals on the road.
Like four second half goals, too. Like, didn't they all come late?
They've scored multiple goals in four straight. 2-2 against Brighton, 2-2 against Palace, 2-0 win against Southampton, and 4-1 win against Wolves.
I'm just going to talk myself into an under. You just talked
Bournemouth. I was going to say Bournemouth without a clean sheet in four. Wolves, both teams to score and more than 2.5 and 9 out of 10. Yeah. So this has me leaning. I got to look at the numbers here, but
Wolves,
I
mean, spread at home.
Wolves, well, Wolves at over home. Over 1.5 goals. Team total is +110.
That's where I was going with it. Yeah.
Not bad.
Not a bad number. Over 2.5 is unplayable at -170. They figured us out real quick there. Yeah. Looking at both teams to score. Both teams are scoring over 2.5, -130. That might be the angle if you want to not have to risk a team getting both. Yeah. And, you know, it could be either team that way, getting two. But this feels like, based on Wolves' trends lately, it feels like it could be a both teams score over 2.5.
Yeah, I almost don't even hate over 3.5 here, too. +145. Ooh. This feels like this is one of those games, Nick, where we talk about it. It's like when you have two bad teams like this, yeah, like it usually becomes a goal fest.
Yeah.
So I can over see this. I mean, Wolves defense
-110
has been terrible too. I think they've conceded 28 goals. Am I reading that right? Yeah, 28 goals in their first 12 matches. So
yeah, I don't know what to make of Bournemouth. That's what's throwing me off a lot in this game.
Yeah, they're on a cold streak. They had a moment where I was buying stock in Bournemouth, but last two games haven't looked great. Although there've been a lot of goals in those games.
Yeah.
3 goals and 5 goals. So
okay.
I don't know.
Maybe we just don't overthink it. Take an over.
Yeah. Asian over 3 is -110. So if you want to play it safe.
That's probably the plus number
a quarter, not that bad either, man. They're at home. They're hot.
Yeah.
Arsenal at West Ham is the last match on Saturday. Arsenal -210 on the road. Yeah. Coming off that very impressive win today. I mean, their impressive team total is unplayable.
They're getting healthy.
Yeah. Unless That's you think they're thing. Getting 3, which, yeah. I mean, against West Ham is not out of the realm of possibility. It's probably, you know, the way Arsenal's played, it feels kind of likely. That team total is a big number. +165, but I don't usually go to that big of a team total.
I mean, Arsenal to money line first half is -105. I don't mind that. You know, I don't think this is gonna be a West Ham team that's gonna be able to keep Arsenal from scoring early. So, you know, the only way Arsenal blow this is if they concede themselves. But with them getting healthy, I'm a little bit more inclined to buy into it. I'm also looking to just see if what Arsenal to score in each half is, because I like that a lot. It's probably team prop.
Also, another interesting one, over 10.5 corners is -115. West Ham's over in 5 of their last 5, and Arsenal in 6 of their last 8. I know that that's Nick's area of expertise there, but this could be a corner match
laid
as
off.
Well.
I've laid off because there's just not as much value with corner bets anymore. I feel like the number just creeps higher and higher. I don't know. I mean, this is always a tricky type of fixture for me because, like, Arsenal by themselves should have 7-8 corners, but they have one of those games like today. I don't have the number in front of me. Let me look it up.
Just goes in the net, right?
You know, yeah. When you're putting in 5 goals, which, you know, they could very easily put in 2, 3, 4 goals, it's tough to get corners. So I don't know. Let's see what they did today. They only had 3 corners today.
I have my pick for this game. Arsenal's score in both halves is +115. I feel like that's a really good number for them with a West Ham team that doesn't play defense and finally healthy Arsenal team that are probably going to start churning out some wins coming into December now.
I dig it.
All right. So that brings us to Sunday. So back-to-back London derbies. We have West Ham Arsenal on Saturday and then Spurs hosting Fulham on Sunday. Spurs -150 on the money line. Against the Fulham side that we just mentioned was hammered by Wolves. So
one of these games has to be a trap game for Spurs. It's either going to be Roma or it's going to be Fulham. Take your pick. Which one is going to be the trap game where they just came off one of their best results in the last decade? They're flying high. Although I guess they just picked up an injury to their backup keeper now. So who knows what's going to go on there. But, you know, if you think that this is a place where they're likely to let their guard down. Fulham +1 at -130. I don't hate too much. I don't see. Let me put it this way: if you looked at it starting on Friday, of last week and said Spurs are going to run off three wins in a row, City, Roma, Fulham, the odds of that would have been astronomical.
Yes.
They got the City win, fine. There's no way they win both Roma and Fulham. I just don't see it.
Fulham's another team I just don't really understand.
Yeah, they come and go in waves right now. Yeah. They have some good results and then some really shit results. They're like the new Palace.
But
I hate to say it.
I don't know that they're going to – I mean, it's pretty embarrassing their game last week.
Yeah, see, legs with me. I think Spurs are dropping points to Fulham. I'll put it that way. The full-on lose, it's possible, but if we're talking about betting, you don't even need to go lose, right? If you just take Fulham plus half a goal, it's plus 125.
Who's their goalie? Who's their backup goalie?
Tottenham?
No.
They're on their third goalie. I don't know who it is. Their two goalies right now are both hurt.
Yeah.
Because Vaccaro was subbing in. He has like an ankle issue. Yeah. So I don't know who their third goalie is going to be. Maybe, I think it might even be Fraser Forster. Is that right? Fraser Foster?
It could be. Let's see. So Vaccaro, who is their starter? Was it Austin or Whiteman? Because Vaccaro is here. He got hurt. Then the other goalies listed are Forster, Austin,
I think it's Forster.
And Whiteman.
Yeah, I think Forster's what's up now. Yeah.
36 years old these days.
Yeah. So that's
I almost think
not ideal.
You could take a Fulham team total for plus 150. Like, I'm not quite there, but I'm almost there. I feel like Tottenham give up goals in this game.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. But, like, I think, I don't know. You can go that way. I don't mind Fulham plus half a goal in this because, unless, again, If Roma come out and do something crazy and get a result against Spurs, then I'll take this back because that's my, you know, that's the drop points that I've been waiting for. But assuming Spurs get by Roma on Thursday, I'm taking Fulham in some form.
Where's the game?
It's at Spurs.
No, where are they playing Roma, coach?
At home. So back home matches for them. So no travel involved.
Hard times for Roma. Hard times.
All right.
Listen, you can talk me into Fulham. I'm just not like super strong on it. I agree with you. I don't think Tottenham's that good. I don't know what to make of this game.
So, I mean, if you go by Sky's device, wait till Thursday about 5 o'clock Eastern Time, US, and you'll have an idea.
You guys can text Coach directly. Yeah. I'm not going to
result. Well, I won't even be watching it because it's Thanksgiving, so I won't be home. So I'm not sure anybody else where I am going to be would want to watch Roma Spurs on Thanksgiving. But then again, Giants are playing the Cowboys at 4 o'clock, right? That's not going to be very
much rather watch either, Roma so. Spurs. Yeah.
Not even close.
That's no so, comparison.
Yeah, maybe. All right. What else we got? Lake is watching Roma Spurs, he said.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. It's because both your teams are terrible.
Fact.
I have that over you guys. I have the NFC. So.
Congrats.
United Everton. United minus 195. Everton plus 500 after what United did last weekend. No new manager bounce there.
Here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to let Scotty speak on it. I know he has thoughts and good insight here. Everton could not be more fucking disappointing. Like, they were up a man for 65 fucking minutes last game, and they couldn't even muster a measly goal. And they were playing, what, a fellow relegation team. I already forgot who it was. I got so aggravated, I blurred the game out of my mind.
They were playing Brentford 0-0.
Yeah.
That was the bad result that I was thinking. I thought they lost. They didn't lose. They
you
just
cannot be up a fucking man. Did they miss a penalty or did I imagine that? I don't know. All these games
I'll tell you right now.
But
no missed penalty.
I just, how could Everton be that bad? Not that United's good. United's not good at all. So, like, but I think Everton are just so bad that I kind of like United minus one in this game.
No. So here's – all right. If we want to, like, get into the struggles of United here, Amorim is going to come in and play a 3-4-3, and that's really what he's been known for, and he's already started it. United do not have the players on the roster to adequately play a 3-4-3 right now, especially in their back line.
Anthony.
Yeah, exactly.
And Garnacho.
Well, they're playing like De Ligt. They're playing, what's his name?
Forgot about him.
Yeah, no, it's just not been, it's not going to be a seamless transition to this manager, new manager. It's going to, it will probably work of over time. But bringing in a player, a manager like Amorim with who has very rigid tactics in the middle of the season is a tough thing to do. They should have brought him in during the summer so they could have brought in some players that fit his scheme a little bit better and allowed that, you know, allowed the club to adapt with a preseason. But they're doing it in the middle of the season. It's going to be painful to start. I think Everton getting a goal in this is pretty crazy because, you know, if they score one, that's all they really need in this is to score one, and I think that's a pretty safe pick. But I think United are going to struggle for a little bit. It's the J curve, right? Things are going to get worse before they get better. So I think we can take advantage of that now. I think we'll start to get a little bit better in December. The players will start to be a little bit more used to the tactics, and then in January they can probably bring in a guy or two that helps round out the squad in a more Amorim fashion. But until then, I think it's totally fine to try to fade United while they're going through some of these growing pains.
It's just so funny you say that. And like, I know obviously this sport is very nuanced compared to a lot of other sports. I know we talk about it obviously week in and week out, but to say that like professionals making millions of dollars and like a club like United who buys these quote unquote superstar players, that's an argument for another day, that they can't adapt to a professional coach's tactics like that. Like it just on the surface, that's just so fucking wild to think about. I understand it, but like, I don't know. You're going to tell me they can't come out and figure out fucking Everton week two. I mean, we see it every week, right?
We see it every week.
Of course we do.
I'll flip that around on you, Nick. I think we're in an age of the sport where you have to, everybody is so talented and so athletic that you have to specialize in certain areas, and then you have to have a manager that recognizes this guy's specialty fits my tactics and brings them in order to make it work. If you just are buying a bunch of jack of all trades to try to put together the best squad, you might be good, but you're never going to be like a trophy winning club. So in order to get that extra edge, you need a manager that has very specific tactics. You're going to need players that fit those specifications very intently. And as a result, when you do this like juggling of managers, like you see with Chelsea, with the churn and United and Spurs to an extent, that's why it takes them so long to get turned around, because you basically have to go through an 8 to 10 player squad churn to get to a true team that fits that player's or that manager's scheme.
Yeah. And then listen, it's wild to me that the players have to adapt to a manager, that a manager of a big club like United is not saying, okay, this is the roster I have. Let me set them up for success. No, it's, you have to be shoehorned into my 3-4-3. I mean, again, there's so much nuance to it. It's just ridiculous when you think about it from that level.
Yeah. Again, like they're a good team, right? Even not, you know, just getting into his tactics now and not necessarily being built for his scheme in theory, they're still fine. They're not like losing every game. They're just not going to be a top three team. Yeah, well, I mean, Everton's whatever. You know, they don't have to, is what I'm trying to get at. Plus one. That's all they need to do. Plus one.
Coach, you're the tiebreaker. What are we betting? United minus one or Everton plus one?
I'd probably lean the plus one just because I don't know. Like, I think, like Sky said, it's going to take some time. And
it's the first word.
Are we going to look past the fact that United also have to play against Roma's bogey club, Bodo Glimt, on Thursday?
Ooh, tough matchup for them.
Are they in Norway or are they at home?
I think it's at home. I think it's at home.
Bodo fucking stink. They can't score either. I think their 6-1 win against Roma might be the last time they even scored a goal.
All right. So let's move on because we do have a couple more in the Premier League, including the big one. So we have Chelsea, Villa. Chelsea minus 135 at home.
Hammer plus Chelsea minus 135. Hammer that at home. Big bounce back. Villa can't defend. Chelsea are going to put up two or three. Easy. Yeah. Chelsea.
I like a Chelsea player prop or two when they come out. Like, this is like, seems like a Cole Palmer's going to score a goal game.
Yeah.
Something's going to happen.
Chelsea and over 1.5 gets you to minus 110. It's good enough for me. Chelsea are going to get multiple goals in this. There's no way they don't.
All right. And that brings us to the big one. Liverpool hosting City. Liverpool plus 120 on the money line. City plus 205. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow against Real Madrid, but this sure feels like if there was ever a time to take Liverpool money line against City at home plus money, it's now.
That's a little, it's, it, I get it. I get it. I get it.
Legs agrees with me.
I get it. It's just crazy because you can take City double chance for the first time in
7 years,
probably 10, yeah, a decade, and it's playable. Right, it's minus 140. That probably will come down. This is, we're recording this Tuesday night, so if you're not watching live, we're recording this Tuesday night. If you look at this probably on like Thursday or Friday, I'm going to guess that's a lot closer to like a minus 120, minus 125, because people are going to be, you know, smashing Liverpool money line, and they're going to be taking Liverpool all sorts of ways in this, especially at home. But I think, I don't know. I mean, obviously I'm biased, but taking City double chance in this, when these two teams are always playing each other closely, it's not a terrible idea.
Yeah. Listen, I'll try to, we bash City at the beginning of the show, as we should have. You all know how Scotty feels about Liverpool. I think, you know how we feel about Liverpool. I'm a big fan of what they've put together year in, year out. I'm a big fan of how they play. Their record speaks for itself. I think their defensive record doesn't get nearly talked about enough. We talked about them 4-0 in the Champions League so far. They're at home in this game. Everything is setting up to take Liverpool, and I would not be mad at anybody who wants to do that. The other side of it is, to Scott's point, it's City almost, it's almost a must win. Like, I don't really have any other way to put it.
It's a must win.
Yeah, I don't think it's even an almost at this point. I think it is a must win, because it becomes an 11-point gap.
And it's still doable, because City will go on their unbeaten, or their like 18 straight wins in the second. Like, that's going to happen regardless of what is going on with their roster right now. We know that they're going to spend money in January. They're going to have a lot of holes that get fixed. They're going to go on a run. But 11 points and basically running six winless games in a row, it becomes a bigger story,
right?
And that's going to be something that actually weighs on them, as opposed to just this like, oh, they're dropping points here and there, they had a bad game against Crystal Palace, or they dropped points on the road or whatever. Having this like, this team is bad right now, and people need to like start, you know, having those inner retrospectives, you know, as a player, that becomes a more of a concern if they lose this game. 11 yeah. points in itself, not insurmountable, but like the narrative of you guys gone six games without a win.
If Liverpool beat them, like two goal win, something like that, like
Pep out,
pretty much.
Pep out. We'll trend it. Pep out.
So what I'll say is, if you want to back Manchester City in a must win game for them, and you guys know me, I'm a really big believer in derby matchup like this. You kind of go with the underdog if you're getting spread of some sort. Man City over 1.5 is plus 120. I've never seen that at plus money in the 3-4 years, however long we've been doing the show, or however long we've at least been talking about betting together. I've never seen a plus number with the City over 1.5. So take that for what it's worth. I think that's a good way to look at it, because I don't know that there's a way Liverpool don't get on the score sheet the way they're playing and the way City are playing. The City needs at least two goals to win this. I would play their team total if you're a believer in City versus taking them a different way.
And if you're looking for a prop, highest scoring half, second half, minus 110 is
always
a lock.
Always.
That is a lock in this game.
All right.
Coach, what do you think?
I mean, I like that number on Liverpool. I do, plus 120. But I see Scott's point. If there's ever a time to take a double chance on City, I think here it is. But I don't know.
They just always play each other so close.
I haven't watched a lot of either team this year to have a super strong opinion either way, but I don't know. Like, if there ever was a time to take Liverpool plus money at home against City, I think that's the time.
Let's see. 1-1, 1-1, 4-1 City, 3-2, 1-0, 3-1 Liverpool. Those are their last six matches. Aside from that 1-4-1, you know, the last five games have been decided by a grand total of two goals.
So
I wonder if Liverpool scores first, how mentally it affects City, knowing that City's in such a poor run of form, right? If Liverpool gets one in like the first 15 minutes, say, how does that get at City mentally? That's where I think it gets interesting.
Yeah. I'm curious to see what the lineup looks like too for City, because I think Pep is at a point where he's very he lacks confidence in his guys right now, and he's even in his best of days is a big time tinkerer, right? And so coming into a big match at Liverpool, I can see him doing some tinkering for this lineup too.
What's Haaland's record against Liverpool? Does he score ever?
He does. Let's see if I can pull up his last four games. Let's see. Why is it not listing goal scorers on this? Oh, I clicked the wrong thing. Hold on.
He's got one goal in three, it looks like.
Okay.
Guess that's okay.
Yeah, John Stones, Erling Haaland, De Bruyne, Alvarez, Gundogan, Haaland has two goals in his last four, looks like.
Okay. I don't know if Virgil like locked him down or something.
You know, I mean, he's the type of player that does well against Virgil, especially now that Virgil is 32.
1,000, yeah.
Yeah. Konate might be a better match. Similar size, pretty speedy, but Konate's also been playing a little reckless the last couple weeks. I mean, ooh, we don't have card props yet. Konate yellow card would be an interesting one to look at.
Over 5.5 is tough, man. If it was over 4.5 for the game, I'd probably take it.
I'm saying like specific player props. Right. Konate, yeah.
Ready for Italy? Let's go to Italy. So it opens up on Friday as well with Cagliari hosting Verona. Two very poor teams out of the relegation zone for now, but probably will be hanging around that relegation zone all season long. These teams, Cagliari without a clean sheet in 8, Verona without a clean sheet in 10. Verona over 9 out of 10 overs. Cagliari, both teams scoring in 6 out of 8. Yet when these teams have met recently, the 5 of the last 6 are under 2.5 goals. But this season, man, this feels like there should be at least a both teams a score type scenario.
So now I remember Cagliari is the team that fucked us because I had Genoa at +180 something, and Cagliari got two penalties.
One early, one late.
One was in like the 91st minute or something like that. So that was our other loser. That one hurt. I do have a graphic here. I don't know if I wish I could show it on screen. It's not going to show, but it is Hellas's last 6 games where they have gotten absolutely blasted in 5 of them, but they did beat Roma 3-2. So just throwing that out there, they're the Hellas team that we always thought they were. Somehow, I mean, the bottom half of the league is so fucking bad this year.
Yes, they are.
They're not even in like threat of relegation. So, I mean, maybe they are. They're a couple points up, but they're in like 13th place. So shout out them, I guess. But they just feel a whole lot worse. They've given up the most goals in the league. Cagliari is a tough place to play. I'm not going to say they win this game, but if anybody wanted to take a stab with them, I don't mind it. Both teams to score, coach, I'm with you 100%. We're just taking over. I think there has to be 3 goals in this game.
Yeah.
And it's currently minus 115.
Another one of those. My theory of two bad teams playing each other, there's usually goals. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm on board with that.
All right. Saturday.
We have its sister game on Saturday.
Yeah, I was going to say Como hosting Monza in the early match on Saturday. Como minus 105 at home, Monza plus 275. Like, these are matches I can't pick a winner, even.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just. It's hard to say, like a
real deal relegation 6-pointer.
Yeah.
Like, this, somebody picks up 3 in this game, that's huge.
Yeah, Como is in the relegation zone, Nick, after you called it out. What were they, plus 800 to avoid?
Plus 900.
Yes, plus 900 sir. To avoid relegation. Monza, both these teams need it. Genoa's kind of clawed Monza their way out of the zone, game, and then, Como's in.
We're thriving if Monza win this game.
Yeah.
But Monza fucking stink. They are absolutely terrible. I can't name one player that they have. They still have Danny Motta.
Think so.
If they have him, that's the only player I can name. They stink. They only have one win. They have the least wins in the league.
Don't they have Pessina?
Okay, maybe they still got Pessina. But yeah, they don't give up a ton of goals.
Is Maldini still there?
No.
Yes.
Is he?
Yeah.
Daniel Maldini.
Oh my boy.
Yeah, Caprari. Okay. They still got names, but they're not playing well. They've got familiar names, I should say.
Yeah, I don't know, man. They only got one win.
Gagliardini is still there, Nick.
Okay. Next, you're going to tell me the other dude from Inter is there too, D'Ambrosio.
He is.
Yeah, there you go.
Armando Izzo.
Okay.
They've got a who's who of Serie A players that have been around for a while. A lot of Italian Serie A players. Yeah.
Who, they got a who's who of Serie A players.
Of their team. My team has gotten relegated, so Monza just bought me so I could stay up in the
league. Yeah. Yeah. Petagna, Caprari.
They have one win. I mean, listen.
Stefano Sensi.
I'm the most anti-Como guy on the planet, but Monza has one win.
Yeah.
Like, what are they going to do? I don't know. I can't even advocate for them on spread, I don't think.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't think this is one where you can pick a winner. I don't. Neither team's been impressive enough to pick
Monza
a winner.
Monza double chance is minus 120, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I got nothing.
All right, that brings us to the new match. Milan hosting Empoli. Milan minus 295 on the money line. Empoli plus 700. I mean, Milan should win, right? But yeah, I don't think there's anything.
Draw plus 370. I mean, Milan, they barely beat Bratislava today.
Yeah. They didn't score on Juve. Yeah, and you know what? Not for nothing. Empoli still no losses in three straight, so they're finding ways to get points still and hang around the top half of the table. They're like a draw specialist team.
That's they are.
Not saying they're going to get a draw at Milan, but
I am. I'm saying
if you are
that.
Interested in a draw, it's plus 370.
Yeah. I think we have to pick one draw match per week.
I like
that. We're going to take.
You know
this
what?
Be mine.
This
we're going to do it. Take a plus fucking 370.
Plus a goal.
I know you guys are going to do it.
Plus a goal and a half. They're minus 130.
I got minus
125. Do they keep it within one goal? Could be.
Awesome. I say yes because I think they're going to draw. So sure.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll wait for player props in this one. I don't mind either of those bets for sure. But you know, this could be a. Let's see what's what.
See,
John says we're shit.
Got agreement.
Yeah,
we got agreement.
Yeah, let's take the draw +370.
Like, we get 85% through of what we want to say about the match, and then somebody reminds me that Fonseca
sucks, right? I was gonna get that.
Thank you, Johnny.
Yeah.
All right. You know. Saturday closes out with Bologna hosting Venezia. Bologna -170 on the money line. Venezia +400. I mean,
this is
like
the books
is not.
Yeah, the books
not the
want
friendliest
you to take
betting
Venezia.
Weekend. Yeah,
they're daring people to take Venezia.
Draw +275. So here's what they'll say: Bologna looked absolutely terrible against Lazio. That early red card. Venezia looked outstanding in their 0-0 draw last week, where they had an XG of like 3.5. Couldn't get a goal. So
they lost last week. Venezia.
Did they lose that game? Oh, they gave up the goal. Yeah. What's his name? Scored a banger.
Dorgu.
Yes. I mean, if you're going on like recent form, you can almost try to make a case for Venezia.
And Bologna also plays tomorrow as well, right? Against Lille.
They
so
do.
They do have the midweek
and that's
match.
One of their only chances for points, but they probably won't get any. This is a draw. This is plus 275. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm taking it right there.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind Venezia plus half a goal.
Venezia doing something, yeah.
Plus half a goal is plus 135. I don't mind that.
Yeah. All right. Sunday early match. Udinese hosting Genoa. Udinese minus 105. Genoa +270.
Draw.
Yeah, I said, that's a draw.
This is a draw. +230 on the draw line.
All right, so let's do this. Over, under,
the
four and a half draws.
More likely than a Genoa win, according to the books.
Yeah.
Over, under, four and a half draws in Italy this weekend.
If you said three and a half, I'd definitely go over.
I agree with you.
Yeah. Give me the Asian line of four, and I'll take the push.
I don't mind round robbing a couple of these draws.
Yeah,
that's one of those weeks. No question.
It feels like wasn't there a week where we had like seven or eight draws in Serie A this year? I feel like am I remembering that correctly?
That happens like 2 to 3 times a year. Yeah. I feel like,
and this feels like that weekend the way that some of these matchups are lining up. At least the Saturday and early Sunday.
Here's my thing with Udinese. I don't think they draw many games. They either win or lose, which is like the opposite of what they've been the last 2 or 3 years.
They were the draw side.
John, we got Johnny in the chat. John, I mean, is this the fucking week that Balotelli gets the start?
Only two draws, yeah.
No.
Is this the week? Like, he eventually has to get a fucking start. I know Vienna hates him.
He's going to say they get a new manager? No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, but they've been playing better than their record. Like, of all these teams that are in the bottom, Genoa feels the best to me. Venezia, Monza, Como, Cagliari, Lecce, Hellas. Genoa seems to be like
down there.
Terrible. Awful. Yeah. Genoa seems better than all those. Their record is not. Their results are not, but they seem better. I don't know.
I won't disagree.
Yeah, Paolo, starting in the cup.
Oof.
All right. Torino hosting Napoli. Napoli -125 on the road. Very I think this is the one. Yeah, this is the winner you take right here. -125 on the road. They don't have a midweek match. I think this is the one you lock in.
Yeah, Torino stink.
It hurts me how bad Torino have been in the last month and a half.
They're terrible. So I agree with that. Now this is Napoli smash spot.
Yeah. Parma hosting Lazio. Parma +260. Lazio -120.
It's a disrespectful line for Lazio.
Yeah.
Parma are not good.
It's the playing Thursday and then having the road match, I think, is what it comes down to.
Definitely. But it's like a must win for Lazio because this is where their schedule starts to get real, right? They've done an outstanding job of beating bad teams, something Lazio has not done in 5 years. So thrilled, have to continue with this game.
Very playable number at -120 as well. So here's a sneaky good match that maybe a couple weeks ago wouldn't have thought that way, but Fiorentina's getting hot. They're +245 at home hosting Inter at -105. Fiorentina doesn't have to play the Conference League on Thursday, so they won't have that much rest before this one. It's the
only thing that kills them.
Yeah. But they've been hot. It's going to be interesting, I think, because Inter isn't like super impressive some matches. I mean, they smashed last weekend.
But not impressive. Then, in Serie A, they're not impressive at all. Yeah. They've had two good results so far this year. Just two.
The Atalanta one stands out, right?
Yep.
But haven't been super impressive in Serie A. The Champions League matches, too, they kind of just get by with those 1-0 wins, which is, hey, a win's a win, right? I just wonder if Fiorentina could sneak a couple past them. I don't know.
Inter team total is pretty good, though, at -115. Fiorentina's defense hasn't exactly been good.
I think Inter needs two to win.
Fiorentina's?
I do.
Yeah.
Fiorentina's defense been good? No? Yeah. 10 goals allowed? On the season? Less than one per game?
I just, you know what? I see every Conference League game that they give up like 3 goals to.
Yeah, that's where they turn off. Okay, fair enough. They are home in the Conference League against Paphos, whoever that is, Thursday. Never heard of them. So they don't have to travel for either of these matches. Yeah, they've been in a good run of form, moist games. I do think, Nick, though, speaking to that team total, I do think that Inter needs two to win this match. I don't think they get the clean sheet here.
Definitely. I agree with that.
So if
there's
wins.
Ever a time to take Fiorentina against Inter, this is that game.
Yeah.
At home, good number. Let me find my spread that I love. -120, double chance, I think is solid. Palladino is probably the best coach in Italy this year. The most up and coming coach. This team, this roster is not that great.
Could be why Monza's falling off, Nick.
That's the second point I was going to make. We just talked about Monza and how they're in last place. Well, he was like mid-table, like ninth with them last year. Yeah. Now they're in last. Goes to Fiorentina, who finished, what, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth place every single year.
Seventh, usually. That's why they're Conference League every year,
Been battling for top four. Not saying they're going to make it. What he's doing with average rosters, like he's everything that people thought De Zerbi was. I heard about De Zerbi for like 3 fucking years and how he went to Brighton and he had that one really good month and everybody got hyped. And then he went to France and he had those 2 or 3 good games. That's what Palladino is actually doing over the course of seasons. So credit to him. I think he's doing really, really well. This game's going to tell us an awful lot about both of these teams.
Yeah, I agree. I do. I think it's a good shout to Palladino. I mean, 27 goals scored for this side already.
Moist game. 0 goals at Juventus.
I guess that's speaks to Massimiliano Allegri a bit, huh?
I don't know.
And superstar Vlahovic under there, had, right? Yeah.
14 last year, so he's a $70 million player. He can't get 20 goals. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. This one should be sneaky good, I think, on Sunday. Lecce hosting Juve is the late Sunday match. Lecce +400. Juve -150. I mean, it's Lecce, but where's Juve getting the goals from is the question. I think we're wondering that tomorrow against Villa, even though Villa doesn't play great defense, playing bottom half of the table sides here.
Juve to keep a clean sheet plus 100.
Yeah, I was just going to go there. Yeah. I was literally just pulling that. That was my next thing to look up was
under it the feels like props. A pretty good value for this. Yeah. I get there on the road after Champions League, but
they don't concede a lot in the league. They really don't. So like that, that feels like a good play against a Lecce side. That's not a high scoring side. Lecce is only 6 scored in 13 matches. So that could be the play. Yeah.
Yeah.
Coach, you want to make another 0-0 call?
Because I don't know if I trust their defense to keep Juve out. Even having said that they have no striker, I don't know if I trust the defense enough. I think this is one where you take the
under Juve 2.25 or the under. Really
yeah. Yeah, because I don't think Juve runs up the score in this, right? So I think you're looking at a 1-2-0 type match.
This is. You guys want to see the future? I'm going to predict the future. We can clip this. This is a game where that loser Coop Miners is going to get his first goal for Juve. And the Juve fans on Twitter are going to go absolutely apeshit. Mark my words. That's this game.
Oh, guys, I have the play of the weekend for you.
Go.
And it's in the last match of the weekend. It's on Monday, so I will be spared having to watch this live because I'll be at work.
Got more excuses to not watch Roma than anybody I've ever met.
Hey, I don't. Would you want to watch him this year?
Yeah,
we do. I enjoy watching him.
Let me rephrase that. If you were me, would you want to watch Roma this year? 90 minutes of torture. I didn't even realize it was a Monday match until we just pulled it up. But it's Atalanta's plus 125 in the money line at the Olympico against Roma.
Yeah. I mean, how about Atalanta and over 1.5 is plus 185?
Total is plus 110.
Yeah, that's an absolute smash spot.
Yeah. Give me Atalanta and money line and over 1.5. That's
and this is with Roma still having to travel to Spurs, like we said on Thursday. Atalanta play Tuesday. They're going to have just about a week off. Roma has to play Thursday at Spurs, come back home against one of the hottest teams in Europe right now in Atalanta. I don't know how they are plus money at Roma right now. I don't see it.
This is where Claudio makes his first stand.
Yeah, I mean,
tough week, man. Tough week. You guys lost your psychologist. He quit after 20 days.
20 days. That's how bad the issues are within the club, yeah.
Endrick said he is not coming to Roma.
He's not.
I believe he said that himself. We have videos on Twitter. Our very good friend Wayne in Rome posting daily videos of Totti working out, saying Totti's going to come back to Roma.
Why is that bad news, though? I feel like that'd be good news for Roma fans.
I put it out today,
probably give people something to look forward to.
Would it? There were people looking forward to the Mike Tyson fight. That's what I equate it to. Like that. That's what these workout videos look like to me. Let's get hyped. I don't know how much
says the man that's rooting for Balotelli to get a goal.
Absolutely.
By the way,
you're
that is closer to the Mike Tyson thing than anything.
John threw it in there. John was already been bounced from the cup by Sampdoria. So
okay, Johnny and I are going to have our revenge. What they're doing, John, is they're just going to juice up his number so high, like that he's going to be plus 450 to get that goal, and you and I are going to be the only two that got it. So don't worry about everybody else. How could it get worse? You lost to Napoli, who are your rivals, at least your Twitter rivals, your Southern Italy Twitter rivals. Yeah. And now you got Atalanta, who's putting in fucking 5 goals a game. Not even 5 goals a game. They're putting in like 5 goals a half. I think, 2 games in a row where they've scored 4 in their 4 plus and a half?
Yeah, just hammer like Retegi goal line, anytime goal score.
Lookman didn't even play today. So I don't know, dude. I mean – this is kind of what I said last week when we were on. Like, what is the upside for Ranieri? You come into this game and you lose by 2 or 3 goals. I don't know. And who do you have after this? I mean, you have Spurs in between, but who do you have after this?
It eases up after this. I think it's like 3 mid-table.
Lecce.
Yeah, like those kind of sides.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know, dude. Lecce, Como, Parma. And Milan at the end of the year. Yeah, they don't really have – after this, it's a pretty easy fixture list until December 29th.
It's like damage control for the next 2 matches, I think, and then try to just get things going, I think, for him. I said it last week, there's no upside for him. It's just he loves the club, and he's being a good soldier at this point.
You love the club, and you're not going to watch the next 2 games. I'm trying to
– Would you, Nick?
Yeah.
Would you?
Yes, I would. Yeah, listen, it like you want the hot take? This is a draw, this game. You can totally see it.
I was one game too early last weekend.
I don't know. Like, I could. Atalanta has to hit a speed bump at some point. A speed bump of goal scoring. I don't think they're going to lose, but like, there's going to be that one game where, you know, that 4xG is really equal to one goal. Could this be it? I don't know. If you're Roma, you have to play like a 5-4-1. Like, I don't know how else you approach this game.
Well, they played in the second half last weekend.
I don't know. I think it would be really fun to watch them score 3 or 4 goals on Roma, but
yeah. I don't know. Wouldn't be surprised. Would not be surprised. But I think that's where we'll end it with my misery and Nick's gloating of Roma's miseries. But if you're in the U.S., happy Thanksgiving. We thank you for listening. And be sure to share your favorite plays in the comments and share this episode out and let your friends know about what we're doing here.
Appreciate it, guys.